Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 99 of the Weekly Long Box. Looks like we made it. Can't believe how... I don't know how the rest of the song goes.
Be careful. I think if you sing anymore, we have to pay for it, right?
Luckily, I don't know anymore. I'm Leonard, joined as always by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I am doing fantastic.
We are days away from you riding a Greyhound bus out to New York. Up to New York for New York Comic Con, but there's still more to do. There's midnight oil to be burned before you escape to New York and have a grand old time.
That is true. Many things to be packed, things to talk about. It's tough being me, the jet-setting life that I have for these cons.
You joke about the jet-setting life that you have. I have, you know, the baby's birthday is this weekend. Mm-hmm. It turns two. So while you're gallivanting in New York, partying hardy, you know, taking off your jacket, dropping elbows on it, handcuffing yourself to Jeff Johns, stripping down to your Florida Gator boxers, I'm going to be helping disassemble a bouncy house for my son.
Oh, you know what? It was a tough choice which one to decide to go to, but I figured for the good of the show, I went to the con. Otherwise, bouncy house all the way.
So, we're going to talk about the news that has come out in the last couple of weeks, or last couple of days since we last recorded a show. We're going to talk all about the preview stuff going on for New York Comic Con. We're going to talk a little bit about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from last week, as Todd and I will continue to be a week behind on that. Of course, we have the digital exclusives, what we read last week, and I think we cross over on pretty much everything as we are wont to say.
Yes, I think so.
What we are most looking forward to coming out this week, and this is a tough one, because there are tons of huge books coming out this week. It's almost as though there is a giant convention happening this weekend that these books are coming out in conjunction with.
Yes, and I think for every one of those books, there's a sketch cover book, too, of it.
Oh, boy. So I don't think we're going to cross over on this one, and of course we're going to have our Twitter question from last week, who has the best villains, which hero has the best villains. There was one far and away choice, I think, between our listeners, and of course we'll get into that. No surprise to me, couple surprises. Well, I think there was like two surprises that knocked my socks off.
There were some interesting choices, one or two, yeah.
There certainly are. So let's get into some of the news that was talked about. And this is stuff that we're going to find out more about at New York, but this is the tease stuff that we got before New York actually happens. One of the things that we were informed about is there is going to be a Red Sonja Conan crossover. Now, in the past, that wouldn't have been news because both properties were handled by Marvel. But now that Red Sonja is a Dynamite, Conan is a Dark Horse. They both have top-notch creative teams on them. Red Sonja has Gail Simone. Conan has Brian Wood these days. They're crossing over. No date announced. I'm sure we'll find out more information this weekend. But I think that's pretty cool.
I do, too. I mean, I'm a kind of a Conan fan. I'm not one of the hugest Conan fans you're ever going to meet. But I read it for years when it was at Dark Horse and had the ongoings. And I'm starting to like Red Sonja a little bit now. And they started together. They belong crossing over. I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm kind of pumped. I think it's a great idea.
Right, now I don't know if it's going to be, like a separate miniseries or it's just going to be the two books are going to publish through the two different publishing houses. And then crossover in and of themselves. As I continue here, it actually will be a co-produced book. It is going to be it's going to be two issues. It's going to be a Conan Red Sonja and a Red Sonja Conan book. And I guess this is the way that Brian Wood is closing out his 2+ year run on Conan with this crossover.
That's a way to shut the door as you're leaving.
It certainly is. So I've been enjoying Red Sonja. I think we talked about it on the show. I liked the first issue. Second issue was good, not great. And then I really came around on the third issue. Fourth issue comes out this week. Mm-hmm. So check with your local realtor. Maybe realtor.
Retailer.
Retailer. I am doing horrible today.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
Man, oh man.
We'll be okay.
Your local retailer to see if they have it in stock. Or just wait for the trade or get them digitally.
I think it's all the excitement for the 100th episode next week. You're
jittering. It certainly is.
We'll be okay.
My mind is elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Another announcement that came out, finally getting some more information on it. I think last year in New York, we'd have gotten some information about this, that George Romero is going to be doing a zombie book at Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And we did get some information about it. It is going to be a 15-issue miniseries starting in January, written by George Romero, and that's not really much else that we have. We got some artwork from Alex Maleev. We don't know any other creative teams. We don't know if Romero's going to be having a co-writer with it or anything else like that. I like zombies. I like George Romero zombies. I don't know if I'll be getting this book. This is going to definitely be a wait-and-see sort of thing.
Do you think you would try it at least, or...
I would definitely try it. But outside of Walking Dead these days, I'm kind of zombied out.
I'm the same way. I think zombies are played out, and there's a lot of, you know, especially in comics right now. There, you can't, you know, swing a dead something and not hit a zombie book. Mm-hmm. You know, every week there seems to be another one. So I'm with you. I like Romero's stuff too. I was actually kind of laughed when now 15 issues is a miniseries, but that's a lot. That actually was the big thing that shocked me out of it. that 15 issues. I'm like, and that's just to me even like a weird number. You know, it's not 12, like, which I've seen a maxi series. But, yeah, I'm going in. I'll try an issue, see how I like it. If I do, keep going. If not, I'm out.
It's definitely on my, you know...
Radar?
What's the... It's on my radar. It's risky, they say. It's risky to check that one out.
Ah, okay.
So, one of the other books that we're going to be getting here, as well as, speaking of Robert Kirkman, speaking of Walking Dead, he has a new book coming out through Image at the beginning of 2014, a book called Outcast.
Mm-hmm.
Not the rapper, I guess, is someone by the name of Outcast. The pitch of it in the little description on the Image Skybound website is he was plagued by possession as a child. Now as an adult, he embarks on a journey to find answers. But what he uncovers can be the end of life on Earth as we know it. Dun, dun, dun. And apparently it's already optioned for a TV show or something.
Shocking. Would never have thought of that because he has no success on TV. But, yeah, it's interesting. It's Kirkman, so it's one of those things that I have to give a chance because
yep.
Most of the stuff that he's ever written I've enjoyed. I stopped getting Thief of Thieves, but he wasn't. I really don't believe he was doing much of that. I believe it was him early on, and then he kind of, you know, went away. That was another thing that was supposed to be optioned for a TV show. Maybe we'll see it. Maybe we won't. But I'm actually curious to see if it'll be him and a co-writer and how much is going on with that. But if it's just him, I do believe that book's going to be awesome.
Right, because I remember he did that book Haunt at Image with Greg Capullo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that Spawn, Spider-Man pastiche sort of thing.
Right.
And Kirkman himself as a writer was, I think, off the book after like 5 or 6 issues. And then his name was in the written, you know, story by, and then I forget who took over as the writer, but Capullo stayed on the book. And I think that was one of his last things at Image before he made the leap to DC.
Mm-hmm.
Capullo actually told a very interesting story. I'm not sure if I mentioned it here on the show. Because he and Scott Snyder were on Kevin Smith's podcast that he does. Kevin Smith has about 14,000 podcasts. But one particular is about Batman. It's called Fat Man on Batman, where he interviews different people in the world of Batman creativity, whether it be the animated series, the comic books, the movies, or otherwise. Well, he had Snyder on individually. He had Capullo on individually. Then he had the two of them on together. And Capullo told a story about, he didn't say it was difficult, but he kind of said that he didn't like working with Kirkman,
mm-hmm.
just because Kirkman, Capullo was like, I've been doing this a long time. You know, a lot of times, like, it took him a while to get used to working with Scott. And I think the fact that him and Scott Snyder, like, the number one book in the world for the last 2 years, it makes it a little bit easier to work with someone when those sort of paychecks are rolling in.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt that he didn't have the artistic freedom to, you know, kind of add to the story working with Kirkman as he does with Scott Snyder.
Yep. I can see, you know, like sometimes that's what you want. Like artists, you know, are 50% of the book and they don't get, like, you know, now I think it's a writer-driven industry, which started out as a, you know, artist, definitely an artist-driven industry. So I could see what Capullo's saying.
So one of the other things that we got teased was at a New York Comic Con, Valiant, among other things, is announcing something related to Quantum and Woody. Is it going to be new comics from the original team? Is it going to finally be those two unreleased issues finally getting released? Is it going to be something? But it's definitely going to be Quantum and Woody-centric, which I'm happy about. I think it is currently their best-selling book.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I know that the preview art said the world's worst, the original worst superhero team, so that piqued my interest. but, you know, because obviously it's not the new team. But, like, if I had to actually predict what it would be is, I think they're going to finally publish those two digital issues, and then I could see them trading the original run with those two issues in them at the end. I think that's pretty much it. I think my dream is to see a little more Christopher Priest and Bright do some stuff, but I don't know if that ship has sailed or not, so we'll see.
You know what? Actually, I do stand corrected. It was their highest-selling book for August, but the new issue of, or the new launch of Eternal Warrior that came out in September beat it in September.
Yeah. Well, new book.
But it still sells, you know, it still sells very good. And I think it's one of the few books that aren't, I think we mentioned it a couple weeks ago. It's one of the few, I think it's the only Valiant book that's not tying into the whole Unity thing that's coming up.
Right. I mean, that's a tough, you know, tough to get them wedged in there because that's a ridiculously fun book. And, you know, they're trying to do something with Unity for the you know, their universe and everything. So it makes total sense not to have them in it.
I know they always kind of prided themselves, Valiant, even back in the day. I know we didn't read them, but I know a lot of their stuff always crossed over with themselves. I don't remember Quantum and Woody way back then crossing over with anything either.
They were very rarely, because I was trying to get them for me and a friend at the shows, very rarely would appear in other books. There's only like, there's the Quantum and Woody run, which they're in everywhere, and then there's like five other books that they appear in. Three of them were Exo Man of War at one point, and I forget what the other two were off the top of my head. But yeah, no, they weren't, you know, around at all. So
that'll definitely be, you know, so that'll be interesting to see if they end up do or if it'll affect the sales of that book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that covers the news. So again, of course, you know, obviously the biggest news is that New York Comic Con is this weekend. And almost all of the major publishers, except for DC, have released a list of all the different exclusives that they're going to have available at New York Comic Con. And everybody's got something really, really cool. I know Oni Press has a huge slipcase version of the Sixth Gun. They're also going to be advanced selling Letter 44, not the ash can, I guess the full-colored version,
yep,
at their booth. Dark Horse is going to have a whole bunch of stuff there as well, like different variant covers of, you know, the new Star Wars book, ElfQuest. I think that Kaboom has a whole bunch of different prints with, like, Adventure Time and sketch covers, previewing a lot of their new number ones. I think they have, like, a new Sons of Anarchy book that's coming out. That's going to be the early way that you can get it. Image has tons and tons of stuff, of course. You know, we're going to get into Walking Dead talk a little bit later on. Multiple hats, multiple shirts, messenger bags, all sorts of different exclusive variants of all the new number ones that have come out recently. And a lot of them are even in conjunction with Comixology. I know, like, Greg Rucka's Lazarus, the trade of that, like the last issue of the current story arc just came out last week. And the trade with a limited edition book plate is going to be available this weekend.
Wow.
At New York Comic Con, and I think they're also doing something with Comixology where you can get, like, a special art card signed by Greg Rucka and Michael Lark that gives you the digital download of the four issues as well. Comixology has a bunch of stuff, but Marvel is also bringing out the huge thing. Tons of stuff with Hawkeye, S.H.I.E.L.D., variant busts that you can only get there, tons of really super cool t-shirts. That Hawkeye one with Pizza Dog is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about it last week on the show as well, that the Rocket Raccoon plush, I'm sure, is going to be the hot seller of New York Comic Con.
Yes, it is. That, and it looks awesome. I finally got to, you know, when you sent me the stuff to see it that way. I almost really want it. so we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I know you're still up in the air.
I think I'm gonna pass on it. You know, if the baby's birthday wasn't coming up, I'd have a couple extra shekels in my pocket and be able to splurge on it. Anything I buy is for him anyway. So, yeah. You know.
So I figure I might get you one of those cool Marvel glasses that they have. So like when you get frustrated at night and you have your hot glass of milk to calm you down.
Right.
You'd have a nice new glass to drink it out of.
my warm milk and codeine that I have at night.
Yes. Purple drink.
So, was there anything that you looked at? I know I had sent you the links the other day of all the exclusive stuff. Was there anything that jumped out at you other than the Rocket Raccoon plush?
No, the plush. Some of the I like glasses, so I'll have to look over those again. It depends. But out of those, that everything that I saw, not really, but I know that other exclusives will pop up, you know, like from creators, or I'll see stuff, and maybe I'll grab something that way. And DC, I'm more of a, you know, DC kind of stuff, so we'll see if they have anything when they announce anything. That might change my mind, too.
Mm-hmm. So. And that one might be creator-based as well. I'm not 100% sure, you know? Mm-hmm.
They usually, DC every year usually had an exclusive figure. And I don't see it this year. Like, they had the White Lantern Hal one year, and I think they had a joke or something another year. And I'm actually shocked that they might not have anything this year. We'll see.
Now, actually, they usually do those at San Diego. I don't remember any cool New York exclusives, but I'm probably mistaken on that fact.
You are, because I don't mean to, you know, it's one of those things that me and Dave, we would grab a bunch for the shop. Mm-hmm. I know every year that they, because I remember the San Diego exclusive one year was like the White Lantern Sinestro, but then the New York con would be the White Lantern Hal. So there definitely was every year. New York exclusives just from them. And then Mattel would have stuff, and I don't know. It's crazy. When I walk around, I'll know. I'm one of those kind of guys. I don't have a plan. I just go in guns a-blazing.
So what day are you getting to New York?
Friday morning. I think we're leaving here 7-ish, 7:20-ish on the bus.
Mm-hmm. So you're not doing Thursday?
No, I couldn't do 4 days. I'd love to do 4 days. I love doing 4 days, but you have to have people who are willing to split the room with you, because 4 days in New York, even in, you know, the cheapest of hotels, where, you know, you're afraid to turn the lights off, you're going to get crushed. So, so I found some, you know, Dave's going, Tom's going a little bit, so it eats up some of the cost, and I'm happy. 3 days will be fine. That's all I need to get away, so I don't go clock tower.
So I know a lot of our listeners are going to the convention. You know what Todd looks like? His picture's on the website.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very affable gentleman. So if you see him, do not be afraid. Go up to him, say what's up. Tell him you're a fan. Okay. Offer to buy him a drink maybe later on that night if you're of age.
Take a picture with me. We'll tweet it out there.
That's right. Something.
Yep. Because everybody wants to see my handsome face.
I know I do.
I know you do. You brighten up as soon as you come through the comic shop door. And I think it's because of me.
It is because of you. That's correct.
Right.
So not to be remiss, but out on the West Coast, the Alternative Press Expo is going on. And this is a lot of your... this is indie as indie gets, what's going on out there. And I can only imagine, I'm not sure if one similarly happens in New York when the big San Diego Comic-Con goes up on. But there's tons of really good creators that are going to be out there. A lot of people are very loyal to Alternative Press Expo. And if you're out on the West Coast and you're a listener to the show, and you're not making the pilgrimage out to New York, then by all means, definitely check that convention out, and we'll have the links for that in the show notes as well. What other information do we have?
So that,
oh, yes.
I was going to say, that's an indie show. Is that spelled with an I-E or a Y?
It is indie I-E.
Okay, just checking.
You didn't listen to me on that other podcast, did you?
No, I just read the notes, so I'm good. Oh.
So, let's talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Now, this is last week's episode. This was not tonight's episode, or this week's episode, as it were. Mm-hmm. Todd and I are always a week behind on this. We do need to have a discussion here, maybe, Walking Dead comes back this Sunday. Are we going to do our best to talk about that as soon as, like, it happens on Sunday, this comes out on a Wednesday? I think we can swing that just like we did last time, right?
Sure, I think we could just push it to the end and tell people it's up to you. You know, here there be dragons when you get to the end of the show.
So, yeah, so episode 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Again, it's the, you know, the formula is there. I really liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Agent Ward, but I don't think we're supposed to like him. He's supposed to be the jerk character that we're going to see redeem himself and kind of warm up to everybody as the season goes on, I would think.
Right.
I don't like it. Like, it's continually, I don't want to say... that it, like, really ruins anything on the show for me.
Mm-hmm.
But Sky, besides the fact, all right, listen, it's Hollywood, it's fantasy, it's a TV show, it's movies, whatever it is. She is far too beautiful to be a computer hacker.
Wow.
but even if I'm willing to accept that,
mm-hmm.
even if I'm willing to accept the fact that she is the world's most beautiful computer hacker...
Mm-hmm.
I find it very dubious that she's able to keep herself that beautiful living in a van down by the river.
I don't know. Remember Angelina Jolie in sneakers? So, I mean, it's just, that's the way they are. But no, I know what you're saying. My problem with the show is more, if I have to hear "Since the Battle of New York" one more time, that kind of bothers me. And the other thing is the two scientists, when they start talking and they have an accent and they start speaking in their science gibberish, and I understand that's the whole point. We're not supposed to understand it because the rest of the group doesn't, but I feel that it goes on far too long, and then they do the whole, like, you know, if you ever watch Star Trek or Doctor Who or any of those shows, it's science gibberish and then the simple explanation. It's like, oh, we're gonna, you know, it's if we let the air out of it like a balloon, you know, that's the way to do it. And but it's just, I'm like, I have like literally no idea what they're saying. None of the words are making sense. And it just seems, it takes me out of it. And if they just shorten that a little bit, it'd be fun. But I love everything, you know, about it. You know, I don't think it's the best show ever, but it's getting some flack from people, and I don't understand. It's fun. I don't, you know, they're like, oh, this Whedon this and Whedon that, and I'm like, I don't know how much Whedon has to do other than he did the first episode and plotted out, because I think he's pretty busy with other stuff.
I think his brother wrote this episode, mm-hmm. and I know his brother did a lot of stuff with the Buffy season 9 comic book.
Right.
So I'm sure that's just as good as getting the real deal, you know?
Right. But that's what I'm just saying. I'm just like, it's not all Joss all the time, but I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. The, you know, the questions that they raise, you know, every week you get a little more about a character, and then... You know, you're like, oh, okay, I want to know more about, you know, this character, why they call her that or do this. And just Coulson's just too awesome. That's all I have to say. I love Coulson as a character.
Now, just getting back to Fitz and Simmons there in regards to their science talk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that I was annoyed by it in the first episode, but it was much more noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
The accent, the fast talking, the science talk, and then the quick explanation.
Right.
It didn't bother me as much in the second episode as it did in the first episode, maybe because I was ready for it.
Okay, I think it annoyed me more in the second episode than it did the first one. But, and I was actually thinking, I would think it would be cool as I'm watching this, and I have no proof. This is no spoiler or anything. You know those little things that scan the area?
Yeah, yeah, his little drone people.
Little drone people. I'd like to see, you know, that, like, because he talks about it, like, oh, don't, like, you know, they do this, and he's like, don't, you know, stay away from that, and he's talking to them. Like, that would be interesting if, like, with the Avengers, like, some kind of AI with those, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, I was thinking, like, you know, oh, he's a scientist, and he has this crazy technology, but what if it's really his power that he can talk to machines?
I was thinking that maybe down the line it could sow the seeds for Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh, there you go.
You know what I mean? It's just one of those, now whenever I see technology, I'm like, is that going to be Ultron? You
know?
So
now, I do want to float this theory as well. I have nothing to base this on other than my own pure speculation. So, Coulson.
Right.
We know something happened to Coulson.
Yep.
We know that he was sent to Tahiti.
And it's a magical place.
It's a magical place.
Yep.
I think there's a very specific reason that he says it's a magical place.
Right.
And like obviously it's something that happened that he can never know.
Right.
I'm thinking they may have, and again, I have nothing to base this on.
No.
I don't read spoilers. It's just my own dumb guess that they sent him to Asgard to get to have them fix him up there, like use their Asgardian hoodoo.
Yep.
To bring him back.
I've heard another one. I was talking with Tom at the shop, and he was like, "What if it was magic itself, like Doctor Strange or something like that,
or like a Scarlet Witchy sort of magic?"
Right. That like magic, and that's how they're going to tie it into the thing, and they're like, he can never know. You know, he can't know that magic brought him back from the dead. So,
like I said, but I think that because they specifically are saying it's a magical place, that he did go somewhere.
Gotcha.
You know?
Wondergore.
Oh, there you go.
So,
listen, if this TV show ends up bringing the High Evolutionary onto TV, then I don't know. All bets are off. Then pretty much anybody can be on TV or movies at this point.
Yep. All things are go at this point.
Oh, man. Yes. I think the high evolutionary is the Mendoza line for, are you above or below this line? Are you going to make it onto this show?
I don't know. He has a helmet with a handle. That's the best part. It's like a lunch pail.
I know my buddy Ed sees this as their way of finally getting Moon Knight onto the Marvel movie properties.
Moon Knight, that's a risky, you know, that's the Marvel Batman right there. You don't want to tick people off with that.
Yeah, Marvel Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. I think Moon Knight is a poor choice to get involved in this. I don't know.
Black Panther, he's the Marvel Batman. And a king.
Yeah.
And a king.
So I'm still on board for the show. I'm looking forward to watching the latest episode, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that next week. And, of course, we'll be talking about the season premiere of Walking Dead next week as well.
Yay.
So, of course, there's that. We have digital stuff, digital freebies available from Marvel through Comixology, and these are all in the notes as well. The first issue of Secret War, one of the first things that Bendis did in the superhero universe at Marvel. They have that available for you as a freebie. They also have Steve Rogers Super Soldier, a first issue of a miniseries that Brubaker did with, I think, it was Dale Eaglesham on art on that one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was.
And Captain America 25, which was the infamous issue where, spoilers everyone, Steve Rogers was killed and Bucky took over the mantle of Captain America.
Oh, I was going to read that.
Yes. Sorry to ruin that on you, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that's going on over at Comixology, there's not a ton of sales, but the sale that they have going on is a big one. And that is Walking Dead is on sale. And when I say Walking Dead is on sale, everything is on sale. Even the issue that came out last month that you all bought for for $3 is now 99 cents.
Ooh, that's a fast drop.
It is a fast drop. And not only that, they're doing a bundle where you can buy the entire run of Walking Dead up to the issue that comes out today for $100 digitally.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And I think that digital price will get you that same price to get every issue digitally will let you look at the first issue in print.
Hmm. Okay.
The way the price breaks down. And I'll tell you, I was seriously considering it. If they stretch it out a little bit longer, like how DC does their sales for like 7 days,
mm-hmm.
if I had a lot of time to think about it, and I didn't already have everything in print, I'm like, that's a really good deal. You know, then I could, you know, then I could definitely flip all the single issues I have and retire.
Yeah.
And still have the issues digitally. So yeah, I'm, I don't think I'm going to do it, but it's been making me think. It's been making me think.
Wow. Be interesting to see if you pull the trigger.
I probably won't.
Okay.
I'm a coward.
So, is that all the digital stuff?
That is all the digital stuff.
Well, if you pick up all that Walking Dead, that's a lot of Walking Dead. You have to put it somewhere, Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was going to put it somewhere, I would put it with our new sponsor, Transporter. Transporter is a private cloud device that you own and control. It has all the benefits of the cloud without any privacy concerns or reoccurring monthly fees. That no money out of your pocket after you buy it. You don't have to worry about that. It's as simple to use as Dropbox, which I can use, and I'm simple. So, you know, and it has, in addition to Windows and Mac, there are mobile versions for iOS and Android, and you can get different choices of memory all the way up to 2 terabytes, which I think would hold 100 issues of Walking Dead and a little bit more. But,
and a little bit more.
And by a little bit more, I mean a lot more.
That's right. I think if you were to go to Image's website and buy all the DRM-free stuff that they have available, I think that might be a drop in the 2-terabyte bucket.
Yes, it would be.
So if you would like to have one of these fantastic devices for yourself, just like Todd and I have one, a lot of our listeners have one, just head over to filetransporter.com/longbox. That's how they know you got there from us. And if you want to purchase one, just click the little green button that says buy and choose the link for connected data. It's 2 across and 1 down.
Ooh.
You can't miss it. It says connected data. And if you purchase your transporter through them, just put the coupon code LONGBOX in at checkout, and you will get 10% off your whole order of anything that you purchase from the connected data folks.
10% off is good.
That's right. Anything that you could save in this day and age, do not let your digital content go to waste. Your pictures, your videos, your memories, everything's online these days. And a lot of the people who listen to the show are working on projects. People are writing books, maybe making digital comics. If something happens to your hard drive, that stuff is gone. If you have the file transporter, it will be saved. You don't have to worry about file crashes. You don't have to worry about backup anything other than the file transporter, because it does it automatically without you having to do a thing. It's connected. You're good to go.
I like me having to do nothing. It's my favorite thing.
That is your favorite thing. Mm-hmm. So this is not nothing, because we actually had to read these books, and now we have to talk about them,
mm-hmm.
Not under duress, because there's nothing more I like doing than talking about comics. And let's talk about what we read from last week. Let's kick it off with the big book that's going on right now at DC, and that is Forever Evil #2, written by Geoff Johns with art by David Finch. We are in the early goings of the giant crossover. Justice League is still dead. A lot of the other heroes that are still around are trying to figure out what to do, and you could tell from the cover that the Teen Titans are the next ones up to try something.
And I really liked that scene. I thought that was cool. You know, just when Justice League is gone, who, you know, everybody's got to step up, and you're not sure what's going to happen and who's going to have, you know, where everybody is at this point. And I kind of like that everything's a big, you know, like mystery. And the other thing that I enjoyed about this was like Lex Luthor stuff, I thought was awesome.
Yes.
And I like the whole explanation for the way a certain character's costume is.
Yes.
I thought that was pure genius. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, Lex can be evil at times, but that was perfect. And some of the revelations that we get about the crime syndicate, I'm like, this is really cool. This is a book that I didn't think I would have a lot of fun with, and mm-hmm. I am. I'm interested in it. I'm not going to go crazy on side books or anything like that. But just villains always, like back to Dark Avengers was one of my favorite eras, like, you know, at Marvel, recent eras at Marvel's. So this is just fun, and I want to see it how it all comes crashing down. And it looks like they've done so much that I know you can always, you know, tweak it back to the way it was, but when people say that nothing's ever going to be the same, I look at this book and I wonder how it could be. But it's just really fun. I don't know what your take on it is.
Right, and I was actually talking to a buddy of mine about this earlier today, and we kind of had the same thought that the premise of the book is simple enough. This evil alternate version of our heroes show up. They tell us that the heroes that we know and love are dead. And you're either with us or you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
We, the reader, know that that is obviously not the case. We know the heroes are out there somewhere. They are not dead.
Mm-hmm.
But no one else knows that. So it's a really cool story of what happened to the heroes. We know they're not dead, but they're not around.
Right.
We maybe get some hints to where they are at the end of this issue.
Right.
But it's just the simplest story. And in another person's hands, this could have gone awry. And a story this big, you know, I think Geoff Johns kind of is a master at telling some of these stories that are this big.
Right. I agree with you.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I was actually, Forever Evil was almost like a last-minute decision book for me. Like, I wasn't 100% sure that I was going to be on board with another giant, you know, big event book. But I made my decision. I think I read the Lex Luthor book. I'm not really sure what it was. I just decided to pick it up on a whim, and I really enjoyed the first issue. I really enjoyed the second issue. I'm not going to be sticking my toe into the waters of the ancillary books, the other Justice League books. I have a feeling that the way Johns is telling this story, we're going to get the meat of the story that we need to know in this main crossover, you know, in the main big event book, Forever Evil.
Gotcha. Totally. Yep.
And I felt that Finch's art, which was much better in this issue than the previous issue. I think we also talked that in the first issue there were some parts where people's face, like there was high highs and low lows. Like there were scenes where he drew Two-Face and Scarecrow where it looked unbelievable, and there were other scenes where he drew things as simple as people's face and it looked just wrong. You know.
Yes.
In this issue, that is not the case. I think the art has really ramped itself up. Now, you had mentioned in regards to a certain character, we're trying to stay spoiler-free in regards to this book, just in case you haven't read it, even though he is all over the variant covers in the future issues as well. I wonder how this character's origin in here ties up with his villains book that came out last month.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, because I didn't read that one.
Yes, neither did I. But, yeah, I'm interested to see where those two things line up.
Mm-hmm.
If they line up at all. Because I really like the way that this character was handled, their reintroduction, if you will, in this book.
Yeah. So, definitely give Forever Evil a thumbs up.
Yes, indeed. So, we're talking about villains doing, villains being the focal point of the book. Let's seamlessly segue into Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 4.
Yes, which is a book that I wasn't getting.
Yes.
Until you and Dave, you know, pointed me in the direction. And I have to admit, I'm loving it. And I read this issue. And, you know, things are set up earlier in issues of who, like, things going on with, I always want to call him Captain Boomerang. But a boomerang in it, and I was having a blast with this book. It's funny, you know, who's in control of the team and what he's doing, and then just a punch in the face at the end, and I'm like, this has me, because like that's one of the brilliant things of like Justice League International and stuff like that. You would have comedy and you know this and that, and when it got serious, it makes it all the more serious, if you know what I mean, that it's just the dichotomy of it is crazy, and I'm just so glad that I got in on this book as I did, and I love, you know, Mach, whatever he is now, 5'7",
yes,
with a boomerang and like what he does, and then you know in this you even tweeted it, Iron Fist and Power Man show up, and just the stuff with that while they're fighting them, it's just a blast. I'm having so much fun reading this book, and I was talking with one of my friends, I was talking with Scott, and he was like, what did you think? I'm like, this is a book that's so fun, this is a book you would never see at DC right now, and that's why I like it.
That's a really good point. And yes, this is a book, just the sheer premise of it. I always like the third and fourth tier villains. I like Nick Spencer. I really like the art as well on this book, the Steve Lieber art. And just the concept of the book was something interesting for me. And while it is still true to the concept, he's doing a lot of crazy things with it. It's very obvious that Boomerang is the lead character of the book. And the ending of this book, I did not see coming. It completely got me off guard.
I totally agree. I was like, what just...
Yes.
And as he... I mean, I don't want to say too much, but as he's doing what you're doing, you're like, why is he doing what he's doing? And then you turn the page and you're like, oh...
So, yeah, somebody else on... Like, I've been touting this book as much as I can, like, trying to tell people, like, to pick this up, mostly just because I'm greedy and I want this book to continue, and the more people that read it, the longer it means it'll stick around. Somebody online compared it to, like, they said it was kind of like Hawkeye meets Secret Six. And that's about as high praise as you get in this world for me. And I don't know if it's close to Secret Six. I don't know if it's close to Hawkeye, but it's up there. It's a really good book.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy, but not. I think it's a little, you know, a little below that. But that's a good one. I like Secret Six way too much.
Right, so it's like a lot of crazy high concept stuff. It's secrets, you know. It's the Sinister Six. It's Chameleon. It's what's happened to Silvermane, which is pretty funny as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of like quirky things that are happening, and not for the sake of quirk,
mm-hmm.
but these are supervillains, and this is, you know, a crazy side of their life. Like, I don't think these guys are going to be redeemed. And I forgot the stuff with Boomerang and the bartender.
Yep, the baseball fan.
Yeah, like when he was his second time talking to her, I cheered. You know what I mean? Like when he had that swagger to him,
mm-hmm.
like his swagger exuded off the page.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a really, really good book. I hope your local stores have them in shop, because I am imploring you all, I've said that a bunch of times, to go out and get this book ASAP.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
So what are we going to talk about next there, Tom?
I think we should talk about your favorite book, Doctor Who Prisoners of Time number 9.
Doctor Who Prisoners of Time number 9, written by Scott and David Tipton, with art by Dave Messina. This is the 9th Doctor?
Yes, because it's issue 9.
Mm-hmm. With Rose, and it tells me that she's a fan favorite companion.
Yep, because she was one of them from the reboot. Not the reboot, but obviously the new storyline. So, or the new episodes, and people really, you know, took to her.
So in this issue, we get like two kind of concurrent storylines that kind of converge toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
One is in regards to the giant tower and the person who's in the tower and their relationship to Doctor Who.
Right.
And then the person who, over the last several issues, has been taking the companions from the previous Doctors.
Yes.
Are either of these people that have been on the show? I think that's my question every time we talk about the Doctor Who books.
The Tower, no.
Well, obviously not the Tower, but either of these characters.
I meant the Tower character, no.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But the other one is a character from the TV show from the 9th Doctor, and his story is totally true. There's two episodes that deal with that, and he was my choice for the villain the whole time. I don't like to say, you know, say it would be like that guy. Oh, I knew the whole way. But as we got closer, I was like, because he is the only one that the Doctor ever kind of got mad at. So,
okay,
I'm trying to be nice without, you know.
So we get his origin as well and why he's targeted the Doctor and so forth. Is that true to what's happened on the show before?
Everything, but when he says, you know, you did this, and I talked to my mother and everything.
Yes.
That's where it ends. And then after that, it's what he did after that. Do you know what I mean? That's new stuff.
Gotcha.
So it's a part of it true, and then he's like, since that moment, this is what I've been doing. And that's all new stuff to me.
Hmm.
But did you enjoy the issue? So, go ahead. Sorry.
I'll say this. I enjoyed the art in this book. This was probably my favorite art of all the issues.
Right.
And there have been previous artists on the book that I like, but there was something about their art that just didn't click for me when they had done the issues. I'm not really sure what it was.
Gotcha.
But this one seemed, I guess, the most contemporary.
Right.
Of the arts, like, kind of. And obviously the art were supposed to fit the style of the era of when the Doctor was being drawn and those episodes were on or whatever it was.
Right.
I think going back to maybe issue 2 or issue 3. Was done by an artist I actually really like, but there was just something about his art in the issue that just didn't click for me. I'm not really sure what it was, but I really like the art in this issue. I think this is the issue where it kind of falls apart a little bit for me, just by not being a Doctor Who fan. Once all the big exposition happened in those last 2 or 3 pages, I'm like, I'm lost. This is referring to things that I should know.
Gotcha.
But obviously don't, because, like, my knowledge of Doctor Who is the previous 8 issues.
Right, and basically I'll just sum things up, that for me as a fan, it was awesome, and, you know, like, it totally fell into place, and I understood it, and basically it just comes down to that Doctor Who is number 1.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Ding, 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 ding.
Mm-hmm.
So, we had mentioned a couple weeks ago that we were going to be giving away a fancy art page here from our good friend Tom Derenick from the Injustice Gods Among Us comic book, and we'll have that page in the show notes so you can see how pretty it looks for yourself. And what Todd just said there, Doctor Who is number one, as they do in the old cheesy radio days. That is the phrase that pays. So this is not a Twitter contest. I know a lot of our listeners don't have Twitter. This is a strictly email contest, and you have to listen to the show. I implore you not to tell non-listeners of the show what the phrase that pays is, of course, but we would like everyone to have equal opportunity to win the page, of course. So you have 7 days from you listening to this, actually 6 days from you listening to this to us recording the next episode. You need to email me at lfchikarason, and I will spell that for you. That's lfchikarason at ymail.com. In the subject line, put weekly long box, put contest, put 100th episode. But in the body of your message, you must include your name, and you also must include the phrase that pays, and Todd?
Which is, Doctor Who is number one.
So you need to include that in your email message. That is the way that we know that you listened to the episode and that you contacted us. And right here on the show next week, we will have my lovely assistant, my wife, pick the winner out of a hat. I'm going to print out all the emails, put them into a hat. She's going to pick them out. And yeah, so you have 6 days to get that email to me if you just heard our voices talking about this. And yeah, good luck to everyone who enters the contest for that page. I wish I can just keep it myself.
I'd have to fight you for it.
So we'll give you one more reminder of this at the end of the show here as well. Moving along, if we could, let's talk about Iron Man number 16.
Yes.
So we're still in the midst of the secret origin of Tony Stark, written by Kieran Gillen. Now, I will say this. At first, I thought this was Greg Land art, but it's not, and it's Caro Pagliulin, and I'm butchering his name, I know it, but he has a very Greg Land style.
Yep.
And it threw me off a little bit. It threw me off a little bit because I thought it was Greg Land, and then I looked and I saw it wasn't Greg Land, and I'm like, well, why is this guy drawn like Greg Land?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of took me aback a little bit, so I had to go and reread the issue. But 451's story is done for now.
Mm-hmm.
Tony is back on Earth, and yeah, I guess he finds something out that I guess puts all the pieces together of what his parents really did.
Right, and we don't know what it is, so we can't spoil it. But there was things in this issue that I really loved. I loved the wrap-up of the whole God Killer storyline.
Yes.
I mean, it's still his origin, but with that, with 451 and everything, and I was like, this is cool, you know, he there's some action. Then he comes back home, and coming back home, and when Pepper calls him for the thing at the house, you know, the emergency,
yes,
to me, there are some great Iron Man moments in there.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's things with Pepper and Tony's kind of figuring stuff out, and he's like, well, I have to leave that for later, but I would really be a jerk probably if I didn't have to do this. And I'm like, I had so much fun with that. It made me, you know, like in the middle, it's weird to have a storyline end in the middle, kind of,
mm-hmm,
and go in a different direction right in the middle. But it worked perfectly for me, and I want to see where this book goes from here.
Right. Kieran Gillen is a unique storyteller, and he's one of those guys that I've tried a lot of his stuff. I tried Journey into Mystery. I read a good chunk of the first part. I tried Young Avengers, and I know that's blasphemy. So many people love that Young Avengers book, but there was just something about the characters that wasn't relatable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I can relate to a billionaire industrialist who makes a suit of armor for himself, but there's something a little bit more grounded in the way he tells the story. That's crazy to say about a giant story about, you know, him being on trial for, you know, the events of Avengers versus X-Men. But again, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something in the way that Gillen is telling this story here that makes me want to see more. But other stuff that it was like almost, not a chore, but I had to, like, all right, now I have to read the next issue. Like, when Iron Man comes out, I'm excited.
Yep, me too, and that's a perfect way to put it.
So, yeah, so this actually, the next issue is probably a good jumping on point for you because we've kind of wrapped things up. Even this issue is probably a good jumping on point because things are more or less wrapped up from everything that had been going on, and you get enough information to know where the Secret Origin stuff is headed to.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess, you know, Iron Man's really good. You know, we do our best to only talk about great books that we read, and we did save probably one of the best for last. And that is another book that had a great jumping on point this past week, and that was Swamp Thing number 24, mm-hmm. Written by Charles Soule, with art by Andre Breeson. Yeah, so what did you think of this? I already kind of tipped my hand a little bit saying what I thought of this, yeah.
I really liked it. We learned, mm-hmm. you know, like it's the end of a storyline, Swamp Thing's coming back to see what's going on. And he confronts the Cedar. We find out who Cedar is. I like who Cedar is as an old fan, you know, not going to say who it is, mm-hmm. but as an old fan, you know, classic character who has been in the Swamp Thing run, and then what goes down between the two of them and the Parliament of Trees and everything. I'm like, okay, I did not see this going this way again, like we did with another book. I'm in for the long haul. I thought the art was a little less. I like who's been doing it over the past couple issues.
I can't remember.
Is it Saez? Do I want to say Saez? But
yes,
Jesus Saez. But it was kind of a, you know, I love it. His stuff is beautiful. This is a little less, but still totally tells the story, and I get everything. And I like that new female character. I can't think of her name right now. I want to know more about her origin because every time we try to get her origin, something goes down. And I think that's a cool little thing and just makes me want to know more about her. Swamp Thing is firing on all cylinders right now.
So I'll say this, you know, Charles Soule tweeted out that this is a jumping on point for the book, and I couldn't agree more wholeheartedly. This is the beginning of a new storyline. They tell you everything that you need to know in this issue. Sure, you can benefit greatly from reading the previous, you know, 20, you know, 5 plus issues if we're taking into account the Zero issue, the Villain issue, the annuals, and everything else like that. But you could pick this book up and know exactly what the next storyline is and know what these characters' motivations are. You get a really cool fight scene. There's nods to the current run, the previous Scott Snyder stuff, the Alan Moore stuff gets a nod in there. So if you're a longtime Swamp Thing fan and haven't been reading the book for whatever reason, you were reading the book at the beginning of the New 52 and left it when Scott Snyder left it for whatever reason, this is a great point to jump back on. And it was a very simple, straightforward story with a lot of those nods to the past in there, which I'm a fan of.
I totally agree.
So, yeah, so Swamp Thing number 24, pick that up as well. So that's, I think, covers what we read from this past week. Todd, what would you be most looking forward to picking up this week?
I am looking forward to, because you end it nicely with Swamp Thing being the last book by Charles Soule. I'm looking forward to another Charles Soule book, because this is becoming the, you know, the Soule station. Superman Wonder Woman book this week.
So with, you know, you mentioned Superman Wonder Woman coming out, big status quo changes in the Batman book, the 10th anniversary of Walking Dead comes out this week, tons of other stuff comes out this week. I thought with so much different stuff coming out, we would not cross over.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd, the book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week is Superman Wonder Woman number 1 by Charles Soule with art by Tony Daniel.
You don't say.
yeah, so this is a really awesome looking book. The premise is unique enough. It's the first time that they're pairing these two characters up in this fashion. The New 52 status quo of Superman and Wonder Woman is that they are a couple. He is not with Lois Lane, but Lois Lane is featured prominently on the cover of the book. I have done my best to read absolutely nothing about this book, other than the fact that it's being written by Charles Soule and has art by Tony Daniel. I did look at some of the variant covers, and I really, really love that Cliff Chang cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Charles Soule is one of those guys we've talked about quite at length on the show that he is, a writer that we're going to read, and these are top-tier characters, and this is a book that's getting a big push from DC, so I'm sure a lot of people are reading this book. It's coming out the week of New York Comic Con. I want a Mark picture of you and Charles Soule together from this weekend. That's what I want you to get me.
I'm definitely going to try that. And I knew less about Superman Wonder Woman than you did. You spoiled for me that Lois is on the cover. I hope you're happy.
Oh, she's on one of the covers.
She's on one of the covers? Okay.
Yes.
But no. Yeah, I will do my best to get my picture with my new fancy schmancy Samsung Galaxy phone, which is they're not a sponsor. Has a really cool camera on it, so I'll try to get some pictures taken.
Yeah, so I'm really surprised that we crossed over. I thought, you know, we would have not crossed over.
Maybe Thor or something like that I would have paid.
Yeah, tons of good stuff is coming. It's a huge, awesome week this week.
I have to admit, the fact that it's a number one helped it. Because, you know, I know Thor is good. I know Walking Dead is good. But it's like, ooh, like, I'm kind of, you know, I want to see what's going to go on in this book. So that's the one I'm looking forward to most.
All right, so, of course, before we get to the Twitter question, I would be remiss not to mention how you can get in touch with us and all the other spots to find us online. You can, of course, follow the show on Twitter at Weekly Longbox. You can follow Todd on Twitter at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker. I myself am on Twitter as well. That's L.F. Chikarason, L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N, not to be confused with the soccer company. That also has the initials of LFC. This past Friday was If You Could Not Get Enough of Me from listening to the Weekly Longbox. I had my other podcast that I do come out last week, and then I was a guest on another podcast, Dad's Tractions, that I do with my good friend Brian, talking about all the family and kids stuff. And then Fan to Fan with my good friend Kevin Ford with a lot of very little current wrestling talk. It was mostly wrestling from the 90s, a lot of Simpsons stuff. Only positive things said about Doctor Who during the course of the show.
Yeah, as it should be.
He did not tell a story that he went to a party and was drummed out of the party for saying that Doctor Who is terrible.
I don't want to meet this guy ever.
Oh, Kevin's a good guy.
No, he can't be. You know why?
And... why?
Doctor Who is number one.
Oh, there it is again. The phrase that pays. I was going to mention it toward the end, but this is a great enough time to mention it as well. Doctor Who is number one. Email me at lfchikarason@ymail.com. I'll spell it one more time. lfchikarason@ymail.com. Doesn't matter what you put in the subject line, just as long as in the body of the email you put your name and you put the phrase that pays. Doctor Who is number one, and that is how you're going to get in the entry to win that original art. Now, it's not like we're going to send you a PDF. You know, we're going to get your address. We're going to mail you the actual physical page, so make sure you have it, and we're going to make sure it's shipped nicely. Todd knows how to do these things. He's had stuff shipped to him, pages and sketches and everything else. He's a professional at this.
That's right. Tom has, you know, sent many pages. He's given me the advice on how to make sure they arrive safe and sound.
Right, so we are going to do our best to make sure that this page gets to you in pristine condition. And, of course, I also want to mention that it appears as though the issues that we've been having with iTunes have been resolved.
Yay!
I know some people had to go and resubscribe. I know other people were seeing that there were two weekly long boxes in there. One was a dead feed and the other one was an active feed. So if you were listening to this episode, you probably found the active feed. Part of the problem with the change of the feed, we lost all of our reviews.
No.
Yes, but we did have a lot of our listeners go and give us positive reviews, which I do love to see. Our good buddy Josh, Kevin Burza, among other people who I don't think your name is Digit One or Atomics Dan. But I do thank all of you for writing up good reviews, giving us 5-star reviews. If you've given us a review in the past and you've been a listener to us for the last 99 episodes and it's been eating you alive that you've wanted to leave another review, now's your chance. Your previous one got erased by iTunes. We can use a new one.
Yes.
So our Twitter question from this past week was, who has the best villains? And again, we eliminated, we tried to stay away from saying who has the best rogues gallery, of course, because that's kind of pushing people to say The Flash. And we only had one person actually say The Flash. John Seiler said The Flash. And I'd be hard-pressed to disagree with him.
Mm-hmm.
The Flash villains are my favorite villains DC, but not overall. We had a lot of other people mention some interesting ones as well. We had Cap come up. Tom Gerke mentioned Cap. We had a lot of love for the X-Men. Kevin Burza mentioned before. Neil, Wobbly Neil, on the old Twitter there. He had mentioned the X-Men, among others. To no surprise, the far and away winner amongst our listeners was Superman. Everyone loves their toy man and prankster.
Dave was yelling at me when I saw him yesterday. He's like, oh, toy man never leads the charge, even though he put it on Twitter too. So we brought it home with that.
No, of course I'm lying. Everyone chose Batman as their choice. He was the overwhelming choice. I was surprised to see Silver Surfer get a mention. Quinn the Eskimo mentioned him, and then Dick Tracy's villains got a mention. And Dick Tracy, I think he's been out of the limelight for too long to get the nod to be on the list for me. Like, kind of out of sight, out of mind sort of thing.
Right, I totally agree. I mean, but he has, I think he's one of them that even might have started the whole, like, wacky villain thing. So,
oh yeah.
So I'm not sure who would be before him, but so that's why when I saw Dick Tracy, I was like, that's actually a really cool answer.
That's a really cool answer. I agree. So that was not my choice. I said that the Flash's rogues, your Captain Cold, your Mirror Masters, and people like that, they are my DC choice, but not my overall choice. And that's what we were looking at here. We're looking at our overall choice. So, Todd, I'm going to ask you to go first. Who was your choice?
Because I came up with the question and the way I stated it, I'm going to go with the Flash Rogues. I always had a soft spot for them. I understand the answer for Batman. Batman, gets the thing. But for my personal choice, the way they were, and not the new 52 ones, but Captain Cold, Weather Wizard, heck, even the Rainbow Raider has a place in my heart, because every time I'm at a con, I buy a Flash 286. So I think I have like half a dozen or a dozen around here somewhere. So I just love the Flash Rogues.
So, again, like I said, I love the Flash Rogues as well, and this is going to be an unpopular opinion. The Batman Rogues are a little overrated. They kind of ride the coattails, pardon the pun, of the Joker, to get the cachet of being the top bad guys. But once you get outside of the Joker, it gets, there's a very steep drop of the cliff.
See, I think it's where the Batman animated series really pushes it, is I think you get some quality villains out of that. So,
you know what? I'll give you a maybe on that.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree on that one. For me, the number one villains, the hero who has the best group of villains, is Spider-Man. We talked about the superior foes of Spider-Man before. When you talk all the way, Spider-Man has minimally three or four villains who are like top caliber villains.
Mm-hmm.
You have your Dr. Octopus. You had your Dr. Octopus, I guess. You have your Green Goblin. You have your Venom through the history of these characters. Kingpin was a top tier Spider-Man villain before he shifted over to Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of his other villains are so cool. The Rhino is awesome. The Beetle, now Mach 1, is awesome. I love Spider-Man villains, and it's maybe because Spider-Man was my favorite growing up as a kid. He was the first comic I collected, so he has a special place in my heart. But I was sad to see only one other person, our good buddy Josh. He was the only other one to mention Spider-Man having the best villains.
I'm shocked you didn't mention your love for the Legion of Losers.
Nah, you know what? I don't know. I'm not as much as a Legion person as a lot of other people are. I don't know. Legion are good, but I'm not a fan of their villains.
No. Remember the Legion of Losers in Spider-Man?
Oh, were they called the Legion of Losers?
I thought they were. Like, the Gibbon and...
Oh, it was the Gibbon, it was Spot.
Yeah, the Legion
it was
of Losers.
The Kangaroo, and I think maybe was Rocket Racer in there?
I think so. It was during the DeMatteis run?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Not Legion of Superheroes. No.
I was thinking Legion of Superhero stuff, so I apologize. Yeah.
No problem.
So, yeah, so I do thank everyone for contributing to our Twitter question from this past week. There is not a Twitter question this week. If you want to tweet to us with the hashtag GrizzWLQ and let us know what your favorite moment of the previous 99 episodes was, we could talk about that next week. But we're going to have so much to talk about next week. Todd is going to return from New York Comic Con. There's going to be tons of stories that he's going to have. There's going to be tons of news that have come out of New York Comic Con. We're going to have the newest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to talk about. We're going to have the season premiere of Walking Dead to talk about. And, of course, the contest as well. And I'm only going to mention this one last time at the end of the show here. Shoot me that email, lfchakarson@ymail.com. In the body of the email, it must say the phrase that pays, which is...
Doctor Who is number one.
Doctor Who is number one, and include your name in there as well. And 6 days you have to order, and you can't order, you can't enter multiple times. You know, like, so that's what I'm asking for, your name, of course. You just can't send like 15 different emails. But so we're gonna get all the entries, we're gonna put them together in a hat. My wife is gonna pick out the name, and the winner is gonna get that beautiful page of art that is included in the show notes.
If your wife's gonna be on the show, that's gonna be the best part of the 900 episodes.
Possibly. She probably won't say anything. She'll probably just take the name out of the hat and hand it.
We don't want to have to pay her anyway, so...
That's right.
But the...
she's microphone shy.
The former members of the Legion of Losers, by the way, Spot, yes. Kangaroo, Grizzly, and Gibbon.
Grizzly.
Yep.
3 out of 4?
Yep. There you go. You did pretty good.
3 out of 4 ain't bad. Yep.
That was a.
I think that's the Marvel non-union equivalent Meatloaf song.
That's what I was thinking. The knockoff,
right? The Marvel non-union equivalent of Meatloaf.
Yes.
Oh boy.
So I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah, I apologize for any of the technical difficulties. I'm sure Jim has fixed those, so I don't sound like a complete stuttering idiot. Last but not least, of course, with New York Comic Con coming up, if you are going to the con, it's not on the West Coast, so you don't have to worry as much about the heat, but there are tons and tons of people going to be there. So play it safe, play it smart, be friendly, be nice, don't be a jerk, have some snacks, have some water, don't go crazy.
Like I always say, when Kevin Eastman told me once in line to get sodas, and I said he could go first, he was like, buddy, we're all in this together. And I just thought that was awesome, so.
Oh, man. So again, for Todd, this is Leonard closing out episode 99 of the Weekly Long Box. Be right here next week for our 100th episode extravaganza.